In 2 weeks, we celebrate resurrection. A reason for hope, the truth of the gospel. If you hear a gospel that doesn't have Jesus preeminently front and center, glorifying Him in His death, burial, and resurrection, it's not the true gospel. The gospel of Jesus gives us hope and life and truly good news because of what He's done on the cross of Calvary and dying and being buried and raising again. Resurrection life. But until we get there, we celebrate Him every day. But until we get there over these next couple of weeks, we take a look at the other aspects, and we've been doing that the last couple of weeks, of what Jesus did and what He accomplished for us. This morning we're going to take a look at one of the miracles of Jesus. And you need to understand that His face is set as flint to make His way to a crucifixion, because it is the will of God that He die, be buried, and be raised again for us, to have resurrection. But He knows what's coming, and He knows His time with His disciples is short. And on His way there, one of the most profound miracles that Jesus did took place. And in fact, it marked the end of His public ministry. This morning I want to talk about Jesus raises Lazarus. Jesus raises Lazarus. We're going to step back. We've taken a look at the crown of thorns. We've taken a look at Peter's denials. Took them a little bit out of context, of course, because I wanted to take some more time on each of those. But this morning, let's go back to some chronological order and take a look at what happens just prior to His triumphant entry, which we'll celebrate next Sunday, a Good Friday service, followed by Easter and Resurrection Sunday. The Gospel writers each took a very similar perspective regarding this next point. The public ministry of Jesus began when John the Baptist marked Him out as the what? Lamb of God. It concluded when He raised Lazarus from the dead. His public ministry. John spends almost as much time on the last 48 hours before His death as He did Jesus' first 32 years, 11 months, 3 weeks, and 5 days of His life. This is the pattern that's shared by the Gospel writers, interestingly. They place their emphasis, of course, on the last 8 days of Jesus' life. There are 89 chapters in the 4 Gospels. 4 of these chapters cover the first 30 years of the life of Jesus, 85 chapters, the last 3 years of His life. Of those 85 chapters, 27 deal with the last 8 days of His life. About a third of the Gospel records and deal with the last few days. They place the emphasis on the death and resurrection of Jesus. And again, that's the Gospel. How many are glad to be delivered from sin? Amen. How many are glad to be forgiven and to receive life eternal? Let me ask you a question. When does your life eternal begin? I said, when does it begin? Turn to each other and say, it starts now when you've given your life to Jesus. You start your eternal life now. Now, we're going to go to John chapter 11 this morning. But before we get to John chapter 11, we'll begin in verse 1 of John chapter 11. There's a couple of verses out of John chapter 10 that I want us to look at. It provides context for John chapter 11, where Jesus raises Lazarus. We find it in John 10, reading from verse 30 and 31. I and my Father are one. John 10, verses 30 and 31. If you'll go ahead and open your Bibles to those sections, we'll spend most of our time this morning in John chapter 11. So Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. John chapter 10, 37 and 38. Just drop your eyes down a little. If I do not do the works of my Father, Jesus says, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the what? Believe the what? Believe the what? The works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Jesus is saying, you will know me by the fruit of what I do. Church, isn't that how you know true Christians? By the fruit of what they do. More than what you say, it's what you do that speaks louder than your words. You will know true believers because they truly do what he says. How many in this room are perfect at that yet? Turn to each other and say, I know you're not. Okay, just admit it with them. I know I'm not. Okay. But it's doing. It's growing to do more of what he tells us to do that makes the difference. And Jesus is basically saying here, I demonstrate that I am the Son of God. And we see it a demonstration. Now again, a couple of points as we get started in John chapter 11. Jesus finds so often in us a conditional belief and a conditional faith, when what he wants us to have is an unconditional belief and faith in him. Either Jesus is God and he's able to do what he says he can do, or he's not. Which do you think he is?
He is God.
He is God and he can do what he says he can do. Now where we get tested, you guys, is in the nasty now and now. Where the rubber hits the road. You know what I mean? Whatever analogy you want to use. And the tricky tests and the trials. When finances are slammed and when health is difficult and when our kids go through problems and when we fail. We look at our problems. We look at our life on our job or in our retirement. And we look at those and we go, is he real or not? And the answer is?
Yes,
he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Do you know that he is with you in the midst of the trial? I don't know what's going wrong. But God won't let it last too long. Because you're not in this thing alone. You can make it. Unconditional faith. Does a loving God allow problems? Come on, does a loving God allow problems?
Yeah.
Yeah. All God's kids got problems. Because he wants to bring us closer to himself, teach us something, conform us to his image, teach us more about how to walk with him. How many know that he showed up in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew children? Remember, we talked about that not too long ago. He showed up in the lion's den with, what was his name?
Yeah.
With Daniel. He showed up. All right. This morning, four main points I want to talk about. Number one, the setup. Say it with me. The setup. John 11, verses 1 through 15. I'll take these a few verses at a time. Now, a certain man was sick. Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love, say it with me, he whom you love is what? Yikes, is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be what? Glorified through it. Now Jesus loved, say it with me, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Sometimes we wonder when the test is on. The illness, the frustration that comes over and over again, the issue, whatever it may be. God, are you really there? Yes, he is really there. Number one, these were all his close friends. These three were his close friends. Jesus hung out with these guys. By the time John writes this gospel in about 90 A.D., what Mary did, by the way, is well known. So he can refer to her in verse 2. And he says, it's that Mary that anointed the Lord. Now, he doesn't get to it in this gospel till the next chapter in John, by the way. So by the time he's writing this, this story of what Mary did, anointing the feet of Jesus with oil and precious perfume, is known and spread all about, as he said it would be. So he says, that's the Mary we're talking about here. Number three, he whom you love. is sick. Now that Greek word, and the Greeks have several words for love, this Greek word is phileo. How many know what phileo means? Come on. Brotherly love, friendship, Philadelphia, friendship, brotherly love. This guy you love, your buddy, your friend Jesus, is really sick. He's not feeling hot. But God's purpose is clear. God's purpose is that God will receive glory and that Jesus be glorified. God is going to use his friend to teach an object lesson. How many love being the friend of Jesus? Are you ready for your object lesson? Hey, I'm facing object lessons every day. But you're his friends. And it's okay. Because he wants what? God to be glorified. Jesus to be glorified. God is always up to something good. God is good. And all the time. Let him have then your unconditional faith. When trouble comes, we need to say more often to each other, I'm going to let Jesus do something great through this. Lord, be glorified in my life. Use this, Lord, in my life to get glory. Verse 5. Jesus loves him, agapeo. It changes. In verse 5, it changes. Now Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. Earlier, it said the guy you love, your buddy, your friend, your brotherly love, kind of love, he's sick. And now we conclude with verse 5 as John says, Jesus loved these folks. And the word is agapeo, and it means God's all-encompassing, never-failing love. Thank God for the agapeo, the agape love of Jesus. Of God. John 11, verse 6. Now, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Now, hold on. I thought Jesus would always come and heal me instantly. Not instantly. Okay, how many wish it was instantly? Okay. Now, just a sec, Lord. What's up with this? He hangs around. 2 more days. Don't you care? Don't you see? Don't you know? Yoo-hoo! I'm failing here. Where is Jesus? Jesus is about 25 miles away at this point. There's been a lot of confusion, but when you really study the text, Jesus is about 25 miles away when he hears this report. Now, let's see, Pat. We've got a map. And if you will take a look, let your eyes, Pat, maybe you can go to Perea over on this side. See, over on the, let's see. Yeah, there you go. There you go. You're on this side right here. Jesus is actually over here in Perea, which is just about, and he's about 4 miles north of the Dead Sea at this particular time. Now, Bethany, where Martha and Mary and Lazarus live, about 2 miles southwest of Jerusalem. So he's about 25 miles away from where they are. And he hears the report. And he loves this guy. But he hangs on another couple of days where he's at. Now this takes place between Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, which they did celebrate in that time, and Passover. Remember, we did it's online if you want to listen to gracechristiancenter.us. We have a whole series of messages on the feasts of the Lord. So this is basically between December and April of the year when this is occurring. And walking is sometimes a challenge, but it's what they did back then. John 11, verse 7. After this, he said to the disciples, let's go to Judea again. After this, after what? After waiting another 2 days. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? After that, he said to him, verse 11, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Verse 12, then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, verse 13, however, Jesus spoke of his death, and they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, you know, you've got to love it. Anybody ever feel like a disciple? No, I don't get it. You know, I just, sorry, Lord, I don't mean to be Kevin Daft Hunter, but I don't get it. And he just says, okay, Lazarus is dead. How's that? That direct enough for you? Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Lazarus is dead. I'm glad I wasn't there. Say it with me, please, the operative phrase, that you may believe. You got an interesting way, Jesus, of showing how much you love us sometimes. Remember, the most important thing on God's heart is not necessarily our comfort, but God's glory. Yes. Come on. I said the most important thing sometimes on God's heart is not necessarily our comfort, though He cares for us, but God's glory. But Jesus being glorified. And He has a higher purpose. He wants us to move from a conditional belief, I'll believe you if and when, to unconditional. I just plain love and believe you, Lord. Number two, the get up. The get up, John 11. And this is section verses 16 through 32. I'll read a few of those verses. Verse 16, then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, you got to love Thomas. Let us go also that we may die with him. This is Mr. Cheery, Mr. Positive. Let's go die with the Lord. However, we all chide him for that, but please look at the first part of this phrase. The other disciples were trying to talk Jesus out of going, and Thomas steps up and says, come on, let's go with him. He steps up in faith to say, let's go. And frankly, it was prophetic, because nearly all the disciples did eventually die for their Lord, didn't they? So when Jesus came, he found that he'd already been in the tomb how many days? All right. If Lazarus died on the day the tidings came because of his illness, and he was buried according to Jewish customs, they buried them the same day. It was too hot. Lo, he'll stinketh, really quicketh. And so let's get him in the cave. They had limestone. They dug the limestone out, had caves in there. They were usually big enough to walk into. They would wrap the body up in tight cloths so the flesh, therefore, would rot over the next year. Sorry, more delicate word, decay, over the next year. And they rolled a huge stone across the front. And they weren't to go in there for a year lest they be considered unclean. He'd been in the ground, in the tomb, 4 days. He was buried the same day, and if Jesus stayed 2 days further in Perea, he set out on the day following for Bethany, about a 10-hour walk. That would make it 4 days. The first and the last being incomplete, but they would count it as a whole day. John 11, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. The get up. Say it with me. The get up. You gotta love Martha when she did this. She got up and went to meet him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, say it with me please, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Do you think she missed it? Conditional belief. Lord, I know you're able. Oh, I know you're able. I know you're also going to do it for somebody else. You ain't going to do it for me, because typically our thinking goes, because I'm not good enough. And Jesus said, listen, I'm the resurrection and the life. I am going to move supernaturally in this scenario. Oh, yes, I know you will someday, Lord, when you raise him up. Still not quite hearing him. But as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, Martha got up and ran to him. Her statement isn't necessarily a chiding statement toward the Lord, but faith in that the Lord could heal her brother while he was yet alive. She believed in a God of miracles and one who was all-encompassing. But the one thing she couldn't believe for was that the Lord would overcome death. Now, Jesus had already raised up back to life Jairus' daughter. And he was on his way somewhere, and he comes across a funeral, and this mother's son has died. What does Jesus do? He's touched with that. He reaches out, ministers life to the kid, and the kid raises up. How about that for a celebration at the end of your funeral? Well, come on back. We'll throw you parties for another 40 years. So Jesus can do it, but will he? Now look, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26 says, please say it with me, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Follow me carefully and clearly. Sin brings death, the Bible says. Your sins separate you from God, and sin brings death. Every one of us was born with a propensity to sin called an Adamic or sin nature. By one man's sin, the Bible says, death hath passed upon all men. No matter how good you think you are, if you think you're that good and you never sin, you're full of pride, that sin, you're like the rest of us. Okay? Sin brings death. Now, do you understand that God did not have as his original plan death in mind? Death was not God's plan. But because of Adam's sin, all are subject to it. Oh, death, where is your sting? The scripture says. You are defeated because of Jesus and what he did on Calvary. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. When we pass from this earth in our journey, is there sting in that death? Or do we get to go instead to see Jesus face to face? The sting of death, the fear of death, the rulership of death has been destroyed because of Jesus. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Verse 25. Jesus said to her, please read it with me. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. You see what we were just saying. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. Watch the power, the faith. She agrees with Peter here. Comes rolling out of her spirit. You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. When she had said these things, she went her way. I love this. And secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and he's calling for you. As soon as she, Mary, heard this, remember the get up? Look what she did. She rose quickly and came to him. So we've had the setup, the death. Now we have the get up for the people to respond. Jesus comes, get up and come to him. If you need Jesus, get up, get out of bed, come to church. Somebody say it with me. Get up, get out of bed, come to church. Come on, say it again. Get up, get out of bed, come to church. Why are you saying it so loud, Pastor Kev? We're here. But it's true. How many times do people get discouraged and say, forget it, it's not worth it. I'm not going to church today, and I'm just going to take this whole walk with God casually. I'm not going. And if you want to be met by God, get up, get out of bed, get yourself to church where there's a life-breathing and faith community that believes in God and what He can do, and dwell in the presence of God. Anybody built up in the Spirit since you came to church this morning? Praise God, there's something that Jesus does in His Spirit. Don't just sit and say, someone else will get help, but not me. I don't deserve it. None of us do. That's called grace. He wants to translate our conditional belief and faith to unconditional. Where we say, Lord, I know, you can be glorified even in my situation today. Say it with me, Lord.
Lord,
I believe
you can be glorified
even in my situation
today.
Verse 32, then when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Number three, the shake-up. The set-up. The get-up. The shake-up. verses 30 through 41 of John 11. We'll read 33 now. Jesus, therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, watch this. This is different than you may think. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. The word weeping in the Greek is kleo. Say it with me. Kleo. It means literally sobbing, wailing aloud. This is no gentle tear down the cheek. This is wailing aloud. And the word for Jesus groaning here? Embrema omahi literally means to snort with anger, to have indignation, to blame, to sigh with chagrin, to eternally or sternly enjoin. He was snorting with anger over this. And troubled is the Greek word terasso. Say it with me. Terasso means he was stirred and agitated like roiling water. Now, he wasn't angry at his friends. He was angry, many agree, throughout time. He was furious at the sting of death and what sin had brought upon those whom he loved. It's not wrong to be angry at the devil and to be in love with God. Someone say amen. Amen. When conditions come upon you and friends that you love and you know it's not of God, it is all right to snort with anger and say, get out of here in Jesus' name. I take authority over that in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say that with me. In Jesus' name. Come on, say it again. In Jesus' name. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Doesn't say he might. He might. He maybe. He sort of. Now remember, I don't even have this up there. Remember those who I adjure thee, come out of him in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. In the book of Acts, there was a man demons filled, right? He said, come out of him in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. What did the demon do? Came out, beat him up. Because you don't know Jesus. But when you know Jesus, you've got the authority of the blood and the authority of the Holy Spirit and the grace and the power of Jesus. And it is entirely right to be stirred and agitated and angry against the devil and the devil's works and proclaim healing and life in the name of Jesus. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Preach it, Cease.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah, yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Okay, thank you. Then watch what happens. He's troubled in spirit. But this is what Jesus came to remedy. Verse 34, he says, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. What does it say? Please say it with me. Jesus wept. And the Jews said, see how he loved him. Jesus, the Messiah, shed tears. And he cried for his friends. The Bible tells us we worship a Lord who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He does care. He does see you. He does know you and where you're hurting. Why is this in here? This is really important from John because the Gnosticism, belief of the day, and the Docetism and the Stoics said, if you're going to be godly, you should show no emotion. How many know Jesus isn't that way? He got angry and turned the money changers over. He got angry at sin and the effects of sin. He wept, he cried, he laughed. I'm confident we have a Messiah who laughed.
Yes.
God created us with emotions and their appropriate display. Watch verse 37. Some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench. She's still wrestling with not having a full, unconditional belief, isn't she? She's still not tracking. There's a stench. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? The purpose of what he's doing in your life is to give God glory, to bring glory to Jesus. She's still thinking, I know I'll see this someday. And Jesus is on the scene and says, I'm going to do this now. God will receive glory. Jesus will be demonstrated as the Son of God. Jesus is going to shake up their faith and make it a living faith. Verse 41, they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Number four, the wake up. Come on, stir each other up, punch each other in the arm, say, wake up. Come on, say it to somebody else, wake up. Verses 43 through 45 of John 11, powerful section. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice. Literally in the Greek it means he shouted out loud, Lazarus, come forth. Come on, say it with me, shout it out. Lazarus, come forth. One more time. Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. And the Greek here about coming out is, it's called exo. The Greek word is exo. Say it with me. Exo. What does it sound like? Exit. Exit. Stage right. Exit. Come on out. I get a big kick out of this. I think it was one of the early church fathers, Chrysostom or somebody like that, said, if he hadn't identified it was Lazarus, they all would have come out of the grave. I love it. When the Son of God says, come on out, don't be bound, everybody's going to get set free in the house if you receive it. Amen?
Yes.
God speaks. If Jesus can do it then, he's still doing it today.
Amen.
Come on. If Jesus did it then, he's still doing it today. Oh, you mean, Pastor Kev, what about that verse that says this has all died and gone away? I'm sorry, I don't read that verse. That verse isn't in the book. God is still on the throne. Jesus is still alive and well. Amen?
Amen.
God uses doctors. I am not against doctors. The Bible is not against doctors. Luke, one of our most beloved people, was a what? Physician. It's okay. You read one of Paul's team members. They're out there preaching. Nobody brought more healing than Paul. They gave him prayer clothes. He prayed over him, sent him out. People dramatically healed right and left. Anybody ever wonder about the little verse that says, Trophimus I left in Miletus sick? You go, oh, wait a minute. How many know God knows how to be glorified even in our most difficult situations? Now, just think of Lazarus. I'm going to kick out of this. Just think of it. He's bound head to foot. He's wrapped tight with cloth, wrapped around his head, tight with cloth. It was a miracle he could even bound out of that cave. Since he was wrapped, literally, it must have taken a special work of God's power just to bring him out. Could you imagine? What might that have looked like? You know, Pastor Sherry said to Hop this morning. Come on. What? You think he was coming up? I'm trying, Lord. But look, Lazarus was bound. How many in this room, upon occasion, maybe even this morning, you find yourself bound up in the spirit. And Jesus is saying to you, come out.
Yes, amen.
Be set free.
Amen.
Come out. New life. Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, the young man. Jesus is resurrected, by the way, with a new body. These others were raised with their old bodies and died again. Jesus' resurrection is a glorious resurrection. He comes out, grave clothes don't hold him back. He's out in a brand new body. And they said, take off the grave clothes, which enabled Lazarus then to move about freely on his own and give evidence that he was alive and not a ghost. Because some people tried to turn the story of Lazarus into a story about he hadn't really died, or even Jesus. Jesus swooned on the cross. And they put him in a cold cave, and it brought him back to life again. The ability to disbelieve and for the devil to foster lies, instead of having people just believe the truth of the Word, is pretty incredible. So you have to overcome it with the truth of the Word of God. As for me and my house, we believe the Word of God, right? We're going to serve the Lord and believe the Word of God. What has you tied up in knots this morning? Do your problems have you? Have you given your problem to Jesus? Jesus says, come forth. Some saints suffer and go on to glory. That doesn't mean the problems have to have you on that journey. Let God get the glory. Someone say amen.
Amen.
We believe in healing power. You look at me and say, you're a hypocrite, Pascal. I'm no hypocrite. Listen, I can't tell you how many times I prayed for my wife. Married to her for 24 years. Greatest Christian lady I know. The Lord took her home early. He looked at me and said, you've got to stay and work things out. Her, I want. But God is good. I got to tell you, Pastor Sherry can testify to this. That woman didn't waver one ounce in her faith. I remember one time in 6.5 years of illness, Gail turned to me and she said, why is this happening? One time. It doesn't mean she denied it. It just means she fell in love with Jesus even more as her days continued. And we were grateful for every day we had with her.
Amen.
So, saints suffer. Some die. Healing power is real. We pray for people after every service. There's testimonies throughout this room of God healing His people. And most of all, God sets our spirit free, our body free. We don't have to yield to the devil. Come out and be set free, the Lord says.
Yes.
Preach it, Pastor Kevin. Turn to each other and say, that's truth. That's what the Bible says. Let God get the glory. Let God be glorified. Loose him is the Greek word luo. Say it with me. Luo. Literally means to destroy, to break up, to melt off and dissolve. That's what had Lazarus bound. Verse 45, then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus said, or did rather, believed in him. Was God glorified?
Yes.
Was Jesus glorified?
Yes.
Some believe. Some refuse. The remainder of the chapter, verses 46 through 57, tell us then that some people went back to the Sanhedrin and they complained to Caiaphas, the high priest, and the 70. He was over there. 71 of the Sanhedrin, the high priest and the 70. And they complained because of what Jesus did. And we read that Caiaphas spoke a prophecy that he, Jesus, should die for the nation. Because if you stir up all these Jewish people, the Romans are going to think there's an insurrection against them. And we better kill him before he gets us in trouble and we lose our place, our position, and our nation. And the foolishness was they killed him and in 70 AD they lost their nation and were destroyed anyway. Except if you fell in love with Jesus, no matter what happened, you were able to bring Him glory. How many in this room want to bring God glory?
Yes.
You want to bring God glory? With your life, your thoughts, your attitude, your physical stature, whatever it may be, in the breath that God's given me, oh God, I want to bring You glory. Jesus, I want to bring You glory. Say it with me. Jesus, I want to bring You glory. One more time. Jesus, I want to bring You glory. Please stand with me. Jesus raises Lazarus. Next week, Palm Sunday, and the week after, Easter Sunday. But if the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, musicians, will you come? If the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning and there's something in which you are bound, I encourage you, come on up. Let's pray. Let's see the releasing, relieving power of Jesus move in your life. If you need a healing power in your body, we believe the Bible teaches us healing happens all the time because Jesus sets us free. Come on up. We'll be honored to pray with you. If you're here this morning and you have never given your life to Jesus, I urge you to do so. Be set free and let the Lord be your deliverer. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go back to the key of G. Father, we thank you for being so good. Thank you for being our Lord. We give you praise and glory and honor. And Jesus, through all of our life, our circumstances, we pray that you will be glorified. And Lord, we ask you to bring healing, to bring life, to bring encouragement to your people. And Jesus, help us even further radiate your glory as we go forth this day and this week in Jesus' name. Now we're going to close with a song called God Loves People. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning and you want prayer, while we're singing it, come on forward and we'll take time to pray. We'll close after this, all right? We go forward set free this morning. And Lord, we believe your word is good for us. Engraft it in our soul, and we thank you for doing so in Jesus' name. God bless you and keep you. God smile on you and gift you. God look you full in the face and make you prosper. Be released in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.